Welcome to the Kentish Lifelong Learning and Care Educators Matters session. My name is Robin, and today I'm here with Stuart Davidson, who's talking about therapeutic care. And this session is targeting the absolutely top care educators. So welcome, Stuart. Let's start with, what is therapeutic care?
Okay, lots of people talk about children attending therapy and being in a therapeutically caring environment. But basically what that means is that the child has to have an experience where they feel safe, they feel secure, and they can understand what's happening to them in order to resolve some of the pressures and challenges that they've had previous to that situation. Now, a therapeutically safe environment will always provide routine consistency and predictability in what's happening. So the kid knows that at 8 o'clock to get up and have breakfast, 9 o'clock to go
there's
to
routine.
School. And
so there's routine. So that routine creates security and stability.
Yeah. Right. And everybody that works with children who've been traumatised or harmed in any way will tell you that consistency and repetitive behaviour is the only way to get the brain back into a plastic state where they can cope with normality.
Okay.
So the environment that the educator provides, should be low stress, non-chaotic, and not over-arousing. So you wouldn't put a kid into an environment where there's lots of jazz and music going and loud stuff all the time. It has to be low stress, not chaotic.
And calm.
Calm, not over-arousing. Because a lot of children who are ATC children are already demonstrating autistic or hyperactivity behaviours and stuff like that. All of which are the same kind of behaviours that trauma creates. So you want to calm the kid
down.
And give them some space to move. The educator herself or himself has to be empathetic, supportive, and non-threatening. They've got to provide consistent, predictable patterns in the child's day, and they have a house routine that they stick to.
Yes, that's the thing. I'd imagine at times that sticking to the routine gets challenged, particularly when there's multiple children.
That's exactly right. So you've got to make your behaviour and your interactions predictable and consistent, and you have structured activities. There's a time to eat, time to play, a time to work, time to go to school, you know, time for leisure and so on.
So they know what to expect.
Structure is very important.
Right. Okay.
Particularly kids with the abuse reactive behaviour or autism or, you know, any of these kind of behaviours, a structured activity is good because they always know what's going to happen. And sometimes I'll say to educators, tell them what's going to happen, tell them,
show them,
and then tell them what happened. So you tell them, you tell them, and then you tell them again. In terms of responding to challenging behaviours, we want the educators to respond rather than react. Don't jump in quickly, just respond calmly and show by your body language and your approach that things can come down.
So that would take a bit of practice, I'd imagine.
Well, most educators are very good at understanding a kid's feelings. What they're not so good at is understanding their own feelings. So that if they can demonstrate calmness for themselves, that communicates to the kid.
Okay.
And often that's why kids come to a therapy and we have no problems with them. Yet when they're in school, they're all over the place. Because in a one-to-one situation, we can demonstrate calmness, we can relate to the kid calmly. Underneath the behaviour of the young person who's anxious and frightened and can't kind of regulate themselves or self-soothe, is a human being, so you've got to understand there's no point in arguing with them. They're not able to reason when they're aroused or in a stress situation. They just don't hear you, you know, so there's no point in saying, why did you do that?
So, right,
because
yeah.
they have no idea why they did it.
So what do they do then if this child is...
Well, they try and be sympathetic. They try to understand what's happening. Be firm and calm. And display that as, you know, well, I can't have you breaking windows, but if you're feeling a bit confused or worried, how about we do this? And you're redirecting.
Giving them an alternate, okay.
Okay, so you're not making a big deal about the thing at that moment. You're sympathetic and showing them an alternative. Sometimes a kid doesn't want to change or won't engage. If that's going on, don't nag them. Just use role modeling. Just wait. And the time will come when there's a teachable moment you can use. I use the word teachable moment in terms of there's always a point in the situation where you can make a considerable
significant
response.
Difference. Yeah.
If the situation's escalating, the best thing to do is give the kids space, move back. It's one of the things to do in good detention centres. If the kid is escalating, the staff back off and leave the kid. If you haven't got an audience, there's no point in being an actor, is there?
Mm.
So they calm down.
So teachable moments, if I can just interrupt you there, Stuart, teachable moments, you mentioned those on a couple of the sessions. So just clarifying for the listener who might not have heard one of the earlier sessions where you explained that. It's that moment when the child has the potential to gain a really big lesson from this incident or conversation or whatever's
happened.
The
educator will pick this up. There's a concept called mirror neurons in the brain where we are able to read other people's emotions. And when you're close to a kid, you can pick up the right kind of moment to just make a one-line statement. One night statement might be, you can do difficult things if you try to get them through failure, or effort plus practice gives you success, or I guess you're feeling sad now, but it'll only be temporary, this kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
Okay?
And
it's got to be a simple one-liner, goes in, left. The educator has to use humour, distraction, redirection, or changing the environment. That's the best way to deal with challenging behaviour. Don't challenge the behaviour, change the environment, redirect the kid, you know, make it funny.
So changing the environment doesn't necessarily mean getting in the car. It might be going to the backyard or
exactly.
changing rooms.
Simple.
Or
just change
let's
the room
go to the kitchen and start getting dinner
come
ready.
Come and help me cook.
Yeah.
Or I need to bake some cakes. Help me mix some stuff. When the kid's calm, that's when you talk to them. Not when they're in full
flight.
Spectrum.
Yeah.
Okay. And you always make sure that they're calm if there's a consequence. Don't try and give them a consequence when they're feeling vulnerable or angry or upset. Wait. The consequence can wait a day.
Sure.
When you do that, it makes me feel so the next time. When you do that, this is what we're going to do, you know. Try not to ground a kid for more than one day. If you try and ground them for a week, what you're doing is giving yourself a lot of issues.
Yes.
If you're going to stop them watching telly, let them get into the programme first, then stop it.
Mm.
And you only have to stop it for a minute to get the effect. You know, always reflect on what happened later. And try and repair the relationship. If they've called you a WhatsApp or whatever, you know, you just go back later on and say, when you say that, it makes me feel upset. So now,
And why do children lash out like that?
Well, really, it's because they're getting so close to you that they get frightened.
Mm.
These kids haven't been able to feel close to an adult before and feel safe. So when they start feeling safe and feel related, it scares them.
Mm.
So they often swear at you or tell them, if a kid says they hate you, really what they're saying is, I like you, I'm getting too close to you, I need to push you away.
Mm.
Now, with younger kids, sensory behaviour, touch, stuff like that, rhythmic behaviour, drumming, playing guitar, singing songs, clapping hands and so on, which are developmentally appropriate for their age, really good. Relationship building, games and stuff where you sit down and play games with the kids, and always cater to the kids' strengths. Find out what they're good at and build on that.
Mm. And acknowledging that with them.
When you give the kid exciting activities and so on, limit that time so they don't become hyperactive. You know, an intense 20 minutes running around crazy is fine, but if you do it for an hour, you might have 2 hours come down. You know? Try to identify activities that the kid can engage in that other young people like as well, so they're getting social contact. Drumming, trampoline, puzzles, modelling clay, dancing, all these things are really good for kids that have been harmed because they give them an outlet.
For the bouncing energy, yeah. Interesting, isn't it? It really is quite complex understanding that particularly if you've got two or three children aren't related, or even if they are siblings, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're remotely similar to each other. They can be really distinct personalities. So it's, but what I'm hearing you saying is that this therapeutic care, creating that safe and secure environment, gives them that foundation of security to feel safe and reduce the amount of misbehaviour that happens.
Yep. The best metaphor I can give is that if you imagine the kids in a bubble and you're the one that feeds the stuff into the bubble.
Oh, okay. To make it bigger.
Then you can help them grow in the bubble.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, the bubble. I like that. Yeah. Okay, Stuart, thank you again. Another great session.